Good morning. Good to be with you again. Glad to worship with you here. Appreciated the song that Wilson just sang. The chorus, we sang, "There is no other hope, there is no other plea. Salvation full, salvation free, alone through Christ." And I was thinking about that as we were singing. We were talking some about the boldness of Peter and John. And do you think that that might make a difference, how bold we are and what kind of how willing we are to go out with the message? If we really believe that there's no other hope, there's no other way, there's salvation comes through nothing else than by Jesus Christ. And I was challenged with that song, with the and with the Sunday school lesson, especially in relation to that. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. God bless you in your responsibilities and your service. I want to express my appreciation for all you do and the contribution that you all make to our homes and our church. And I'm glad to have had a godly mother and grew up with a mother that cared about me, and it's been a blessing to me. God bless each mother here this morning. Always thought it was kind of challenging to preach Mother's Day messages. When it comes to Father's Day, we stand up here and we talk to the dads and we tell them how to be a dad and all the how they need to stand strong. And then it's Mother's Day, and of course none of us preachers were ever mothers, so we tend to kind of carefully step around it and talk nice and say how thankful we are for mothers. And I think that's a good thing, that we show our appreciation for them. So I'd like you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I was trying to, as I was meditating, what to preach about this morning and what the sermon should be on in relation to Mother's Day. I thought it was going to be a Mother's Day message, and then I realized that all this stuff that I'm going to challenge mothers with, why, pretty much applies to all of us. So I guess it's just another sermon. So anyway, 2 Kings chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 1 to 7, and it is about a mother. And I'd like to learn some lessons from her life and from the things she faced. 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." I've titled the message this morning, Empty Vessels. I'm not aware of any mothers, any of you mothers, that are faced with a situation that's quite as dire as what this lady faced in this account and what she was facing. But I believe that there are lessons for mothers from this passage and for all of us for that matter, from this story and this account. Here's a lady. Her husband was dead, and she was facing foreclosure, and she had a creditor that was coming for her two sons to be his slaves. Now, I can't quite imagine the stress that would put someone under, especially a lady that lost her husband. I don't know how recently it was. I found it kind of interesting. There's historians that believe that this was Obadiah's widow. Obadiah was the man, if you remember, that when Ahab was king, he had sheltered prophets, the prophets of the Lord. And there's people believe that he just gave everything to feed these prophets and keep them alive. And we don't know that. But this lady came to Elisha, and she was saying, I had a husband that feared the Lord, and he was a servant of God. And basically what I read into her plea was, why am I facing all this bad stuff? Why am I facing all these hard things? And she was facing a very tough situation. And I thought the questions that Elisha asked her were pretty interesting. He really put the thing in perspective. He asked her, right, first of all, he said, what do you want me to do for you? What's your problem? What are your needs? And then the second question was, what do you have? What's in your house? What do you have to your name? And the short answer was, this lady need cash to pay her debts. That was what she needed. That was the short answer. And all she had was this pot of oil. And that kind of brought the whole problem, this whole thing into perspective, that this lady needed cash and she had no assets. And Elisha told her to go borrow from her neighbors. And also I was challenged with, he said, go borrow empty vessels from your neighbors. And as an afterthought, he kind of added on, borrow not a few. Borrow a lot of them, is what he was saying. So now the ball was back in this lady's court, this woman's court. And I was thinking about it, you know, I don't know what this woman expected when she came to Elisha. I'm not sure what she expected, I mean, it would have been, you know, God could somehow have produced the money that she needed right then and there. And she wouldn't have had to do a thing. He could have somehow produced whatever she needed, and her needs would have all been taken care of. But instead, God used that one resource that she had, that pot of oil. That's all she had to her name, apparently. God used that to meet her needs. And you couple that, the fact that God could take the resource that she had and use that, and you couple that with this woman's faith, and her needs were met. Had to be a real test of faith, though, for this woman when she walked away from Elisha. It had to be a real test, and had to be humiliating for her to go ask her neighbors for jars and pots and jugs and vessels and whatever. You know, well, what do you want them for? Put oil in. Put oil in that I don't have. And she didn't even know where this oil was going to come from. She knew that she was to pour out of her jug, but she knew very well that there wasn't enough to fill more than the little pot that she had. Put yourself in that lady's shoes, and how many vessels would you have been satisfied with? When you were going around asking the neighbors to borrow jugs and jars and vessels, how many would have you been satisfied with? If you'd have gone to the first house and they'd have given you three of them, would you have been satisfied with that? Remember, Elisha said on her way out, he said, borrow not a few. And, you know, I'm not sure. I think I would have been tempted to borrow a couple and let's go home and see how this works out. But I kind of get the impression that this lady left Elisha, and what he said stuck with her. And I don't know how many vessels she borrowed. She borrowed vessels. Bible doesn't say how many, but she and her sons shut themselves in their house with these vessels, these empty vessels, and commenced to filling them. And she kept pouring until every vessel that they had borrowed was full. And that's amazing. That's a miracle. That's amazing. The limiting factor was, in this passage, the limiting factor was the number of vessels that she had borrowed. It wasn't that the oil ran out. The oil kept on. It was always there. The limiting factor was how many vessels this lady borrowed. Of course, Elisha's direction was, now, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your children can live on the rest. Now, apparently oil was worth something. And apparently there was a fair amount of oil that she was in the oil business overnight. She got into the oil business and it got her out of her unfortunate predicament that she was in. So now, what are the lessons that we can learn from a passage like this, from an account like this? I really believe that these stories in the Old Testament were put here for our learning. And there's some things that God wants us to learn from these Old Testament accounts. This morning, what are the lessons from this account? Number one, life isn't perfect. And many times it's not even fair. That's just the way it is. We live, you know, if you're facing things in life, in your home, in your family, and you're facing things that you wish you could change, and maybe some things that you wish were different, it's not abnormal. It's not unusual. That's life. There's things that if it'd be up to us, we'd change them. And if we had the power to do it, we'd change them. And we look around us and we see people that it seems like they don't face half the things that I face. And it just doesn't seem fair. Life doesn't seem fair. Maybe you're facing difficulties or things in your life, circumstances in your life that you see a lot of your friends, and it doesn't seem like they have to put up with that. Well, that's life. And these bad things that take place, these unfair things, these inconvenient things, the things that are hard to face sometimes. Well, that's life, and it's a result of the fallen world that we live in. That's the first lesson that I believe we can get from this story. The second lesson is God wants us to bring our cares and our burdens to Him. Now, this story that we just read about this woman, she brought her cares and her problems, the predicament she was in. She went to Elisha, and to her, Elisha was God's representative to them, and He kind of represented His people to God and God to the people, possibly. But remember, we don't have to handle all of life's perplexities and difficulties alone. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, a very, very familiar verse. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And that's an invitation that God gives to every one of us, that He wants us to cast our care upon Him. and bring our burdens, our difficulties, our perplexities to him in prayer. And it's a relief to know that this is real to God, and he cares about us each personally. It's not some, we're not just another statistic or another number, but we are a person that God cares intimately about. Part of bringing our burdens and cares to the Lord is also sharing our burdens and our difficulties with those that can be an encouragement to us and those that can help us to cope with these things. God wants us to come to him, feel free to come to him in our emptiness. And in fact, that's how God wants us to come. So often we face problems and difficulties in life, and we roll over in our mind how this can be fixed and how we can take care of this problem, how this problem could go away or be fixed. And we come to God and we start praying that way. And we start trying to tell God how to fix these problems. And this is my problem. I have this you could use, we begin to tell God how to fix the problems. God wants us to come in emptiness. He wants us to come like this woman came. She came to Elisha, and Elisha said, What should I do for you? Tell me what you have. And she said, all I got is a pot of oil. From her perspective, it was useless. And when she was willing to come to God, she made that available to God. She didn't withhold that. But she didn't come with answers, and neither should we. She came with the cold, hard facts of her condition. And she didn't even have any ideas or possibilities on how to get out of her predicament. And that's how God wants us to come to him. He wants us to come emptied of ourselves, emptied of any selfish ambitions. He wants us to come to him. Tell him about our cares and our condition. And when we're really surrendered to him and come to him that way, he can begin to work. Number three. Another lesson we can learn is we need to be open to using the resources and opportunities that we do have. And here this lady was, the only resource, the only thing she had. God put his finger on that. God said, I want that, and use that. You pour that oil into the empty vessels and see what I can do. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where everything looks like it's wrong, and we're going to have to start over completely, and God is going to have to intervene in a big way to fix this problem. And it is true that in our problems and the things we face in life, we do need God's intervention. We can't fix these problems ourselves. We need God's intervention, but many times God starts with those little resources and those overlooked opportunities that we have. Many times that's where he starts, and he uses those things to fix our big problems. And we're looking for some big intervention and some big fix it that God has, that when really what God wants is that little resource that he has already given us. And it needs to be channeled in the right way. For the widow in today's story, it was that little pot of oil. And it's all she had. But God had a plan for it. Don't be surprised if God's answer to your problems and perplexities utilizes the forgotten and overlooked assets and blessings that you already have. Don't be surprised at that. If God uses the little things that that you think are worthless, and maybe it's an ability you have or whatever, and God puts his finger on that, and he uses that to fix your problem or to guide you in life. And I thought about the story in the New Testament when Jesus fed the 5,000. And, you know, he could have very easily provided lunch for 5,000 people just by saying the word. He could have created bread and fish for 5,000 people very easily. But instead, he started with the five loaves and two fish. I often wondered why he did that. But he started, here was a young lad, whatever it calls him, that was willing to sacrifice his lunch. And God used that lunch to feed 5,000 people. Blessing to me as I thought about that I need to be willing to allow God to use the resources, the opportunities, and the abilities that I have. Maybe I don't even think about them, but when God puts his finger on them and says, I want to use that, I need to be willing to let it go and to allow God to use it. And number four, by faith, accept and follow the answers and directions that God gives you. The woman did in this account. She followed it. She did exactly what Elisha told her to do. And as I said before, no doubt it was pretty humiliating. It was kind of humiliating for her to go around asking her neighbors for vessels, empty vessels, to fill with oil that she didn't even have. And often wondered if she had it to do over, if she would have tried to find a few more containers yet, if she'd have had that opportunity. Well, she had plenty, apparently. She unquestioningly did as she was directed. And that's the challenge that I'd like to leave with all of us this morning. You know, God doesn't want us to bring our problems to him, to get his opinion on how to fix the problem. God wants us to bring our problems to him, knowing that he has the answers. And by faith, what we need to do is live in obedience to him and follow his direction in all of life. 2 Corinthians, I'd like to close with two passages in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And this is Paul speaking. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. It is a verse about vessels. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This morning, we're just vessels. And God's calling us to be emptied of ourselves. You know, if we're half full of our own stuff and half full of our own ideas and our own opinions, and that's why it was so important that this lady went out and borrowed empty vessels. If she'd have poured her oil into, you know, maybe there was water in that vessel, maybe wine or whatever, it would have been corrupted oil. God's calling us when what he really needs is an empty vessel. And he wants us to be, verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God's power can work in us as we're emptied of ourselves. If we try and keep a little bit of ourselves and expect God to show his power, it's probably not going to happen. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then dropping down to verse 21. This is kind of a the continuation, it says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these things that we just read about, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." This morning, the highest goal every child of God should be to be emptied of our own ambitions, emptied of self, emptied of our own plans, our own fixes to the problems that we think we're facing, so that God can use us and fill us exactly the way he wants to fill us. May we be faithful in providing God with that empty vessel that he's looking for. Let's kneel for prayer.